The following contest is scheduled for one fall. Please welcome Mr. Freds.
What's going on, everybody? This is King Ricky Rose, your host of Kings of the Rings podcast and your general manager here. And you are listening to WrestleAddict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast.
It's a new year. Yes, it is. What is going on, peeps? And welcome to this very special New Year's edition of the Fretzelmania podcast, a Brutzy bonus episode. Thank you, OSW Review. I am the North American treasure, your second favorite Canadian, Mr. Fretz, in the slightly newly revamped Fretzelmania studios, by which I mean I switched furniture around and put up some acoustic panels. Today, I am giving you, the listener, my predictions for the world of professional wrestling in 2024, and a little update of what's been going on in my life since we last spoke. On day one-ish of 2024, stay tuned. Happy New Year's, peeps. Welcome back to the Fretzelmania podcast. It's been a good few weeks off, you know, work, holiday season. It's busy. People want their turkeys and their appetizers. And instead of going out and getting interplanetarily drunk on New Year's Eve, I'm sitting here in my room talking about some pro wrestling, something that y'all know I love dearly. So much so that I actually attended my first WWE house show in over 20 years just two nights ago at time of recording, where I was given some tickets to go to the holiday house show tour at the Coca-Cola Coliseum in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. So my brother, his kid, and a good friend of mine from the city, we all went down, we hung out, and we had a very good time. And Trips, Hunter, bro, you're spoiling us on the house show circuit, because we got a last man standing and a cage match. I'm going to give you the results here that I have right here in front of me before I get into my little predictions here. So opening the show, we had Becky Lynch defeating Zoe Stark in a decently competitive match. I mean, Zoe tried to go for her C4 or whatever that twisting knee to the face is called, which is vicious looking on TV. Almost got it, but Becky managed to get out of it with a manhandle slam. Kofi Kingston, surprising, he was not advertised here, defeated Ludwig Kaiser. Now, I was going to assume that Gunther was going to be on this card, but just a few days ago, him and his wife, former NXT UK wrestler Jenny, gave birth to their new baby son. So congratulations go out to Gunther and Jenny and Gunther Jr. We had a women's tag team title match with new champions Caden Carter and Katana Chance retaining over former champs Chelsea Green and Piper Niven in a decently back and forth match where the champs won with that Neckbreaker 450 combo that looked beautiful in person. Omos came out to the ring with MVP here, and MVP, of course, dissing Toronto as a whole, Toronto sports teams. I believe he said something about the Tampa Bay Lightning. Yeah, Tampa's beat us in the playoffs twice, but we got them this year before getting smacked around by the Florida Panthers. Anyway, MVP cuts a promo here saying, if anyone here can take Omos off of his feet, he will give them $10,000. Comes R-Truth, who is doing his comedy shtick, and he asks us to congratulate him for being the newest member of Judgment Day. He pisses off MVP, probably also makes him break character a little bit because it's R-Truth. And he's like, okay, I'll sweeten the deal. You get 10 grand, and I'll kiss your ass. But of course, Omos chokeslam, heel chicanery, chasing MVP around the ring. Funhouse show match, and R-Truth loses. Afterwards, you know, he does the bow to the crowd and says thank you and all that and leaves. In a women's world title match, we had Rhea Ripley accompanied by Dirty Dom getting tons of heat by the Toronto faithful, retaining over Ivy Nile and Shayna Baszler in a triple threat match. A very good back and forth match with Dom doing a whole bunch of shenanigans and tripping the women. Shayna Baszler even locked him in the Kirifuda clutch, which allowed Ripley to hit the schoolboy, or schoolgirl, if you will, on Shayna, handful of tights. And of course, because it's a house show match, the champ retains. Ivy Nile had some really impressive power spots in this match, and I think that she's going to have a banger year in 2024, I'm hoping. Cody Rhodes, I'll have a pop tonight, defeated tag team champion Damian Priest in a solid steel cage. And Cody won by escape during this match while Priest was crawling for the door. Cody, he climbs over and he jumps out of the steel cage to win. Cuts a promo after the crowd just saying, you know, he loves Toronto and thank you for coming, blah, blah, blah. Intermission. Back from intermission, Ricochet defeated Big Bronson Reed. There was a really good bit here where you probably saw on my Twitter doing the Aloha Arn spot. Again, shout out to OSW, where Bronson was teetering on the top rope and then Ricochet does his slingshot kick from the outside. Shooting Star Press wins. Biggest pop of the night goes to fellow Canadian Sami Zayn defeating tag team champion Finn Balor in a last man standing match. Now, there's a whole bunch of we want tables chants during this bit. Finn Balor then, he's like, oh, you want tables? You want tables, huh? He goes under the ring. He slides out a table, then picks up a steel chair. And in one of the best spots of the entire night, that could have almost been disastrous, Sammy was caning the crap out of Finn with a Singapore cane, kendo stick, what have you. It goes flying. Someone from the front row catches it and then has to promptly give it back to the security guard, who is booed out of the arena. Sammy bolts out of the ring, gives the kendo stick back to the fan, to the delight of the Coca-Cola Coliseum faithful. Now, Sammy wins with a yeet through a corner table, like a hip toss or something. He does the Helluva kick and he just barrels Finn through the table. Dom gets put through a table himself for good measure, as the Kansas City Chiefs have just taken a 2-point lead over the Cincinnati Bengals. This is going to age like milk. Main event, Seth Rollins retaining over Drew McIntyre and Shinsuke Nakamura in a triple threat match for the World Heavyweight title. And I missed this because I was heading for the exits and we were going to beat the traffic for the 3-hour drive home. But Seth was talking about CM Punk like, oh yeah, get it all out of your system. This is a guy that doesn't care about you. He's not here tonight. Actually, the very same night, Punk was at a SmackDown house show in Las Vegas at the exact same time this was going on. So he was booked, Seth. You petty, petty little child. But this was a fun time. I haven't been to a house show in over 20 years. This is the second wrestling event I went to this calendar year, which if you told me that at the beginning of 2023, I would have laughed in your face. Although, yes, in January of 2023, I did have my tickets to Forbidden Door procured thanks to my good brother, Ryan Williams. I hope you hear this, Ryan. Happy New Year to you and yours. Now, need a little liquid courage for this one. I'm going to predict the world of wrestling in 2024 across the WWE and NXT, AEW, a little bit of Impact, and a little tiny bit of the indies. Of course, bear in mind, these are not to be taken seriously. I'm not a wrestling journalist. I'm no Meltzer. I'm no Alvarez. I sure as heck am no Sean Ross Sapp. I have no pull in the wrestling journalism world, nor do I want to have it. To paraphrase my favorite wrestling content creators, other than Wrestle Addict Radio, of course, Cultaholic, it's not what I think will happen, it's what I kind of want to happen. Some of these might make you laugh. Some of these might piss you off. Secondly, I wrote some of these predictions as far back as October. I had an open Word file here just giving what was going on in my brain, what I was thinking about. So don't expect accuracy. And a heads up, folks, at least one of these feature Chris Jericho. We all know he was recently in the news. There was no clarity as to what went on, if anything. So you're going to hear a Chris Jericho prediction, and by the time this comes out, this might age like milk, or this might not, so just bear that in mind. And I apologize if this ages poorly. I mean, I've covered the likes of Chris Benoit and Jimmy Snuka on this show, so gotta remind y'all that I separate the art from the artist. Like one of our favorites of all time, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Look what happened with him and Deborah. Enough said. Now, kicking off my predictions for WWE. Dominic Mysterio wins the Money in the Bank briefcase. Starting off with some major heat. Now, there's some folks who I've seen predict that Dom could flip the switch and be a really big baby face, but I still think there's some more fuel to the fire for him being a heel, especially if he were to, I don't know, another prediction that just came off the top of my head, not on my list here, he retires his father, Rey Mysterio. Yes, Ray just signed a contract extension for a good couple of years. Maybe it can be morphed into a Legends contract. Or he's forced to retire in the ring due to Dom. And he becomes, let's say, the Spanish announced team member. And you go from there. Jade Cargill wins the women's Money in the Bank briefcase. Now, I was really struggling as to where exactly I was going to put Cargill in here. I thought about putting her in NXT to have her squash, say, Lyra Valkyria for the women's title, but I have something else in store for the NXT women's division. Speaking of the women's division, but on the main roster, Rhea Ripley reigns for one full year as the Women's World Champion before dropping it to Jade Cargill following the briefcase. cash in. Cody Rhodes wins the Elimination Chamber match to determine the number one contender at WrestleMania, finishes his story with Roman Reigns, and then jumps ship to SmackDown. Back to Jade Cargill, she debuts at the Royal Rumble, and before getting into a title program with Ripley, she enters a non-title program with another returning women superstar in Mercedes Moné. Now, this one's a little controversial, but it's kind of something I'd like to see. Bo Dallas returns and continues the legacy of his late brother Bray Wyatt, Wyndham Rotunda, as Bo Wyatt. I kind of don't see the point in bringing back the Uncle Howdy character or the Wyatt Six faction, although I did write down that he could also portray Uncle Howdy. Moving on to L.A. Knight. Yeah. He wins the U.S. title from Logan Paul to open WrestleMania Night 1. Okay, now on to the... Man, this one, just take this with a bowl of salt, because again, it's something I would like to happen, but I also have this person's prediction for another company. Maxwell Jacob Friedman, MJF, jumps ship to WWE the night after WrestleMania and enters a program with his good buddy Cody Rhodes, and defeats him for the WWE title at SummerSlam. Here's another salty one here, you folks. Oh, I would love for this next one to happen. Trust me. The Paul brothers, Logan and Jake, win the tag team championships at, let's say, a Saudi show, at Greatest Royal Rumble or Crown Jewel or something like that. Whatever Saudi shows we're going to have next year. The Usos, Jimmy and Jay, reignite their never really started rivalry and engage in tribal combat at WrestleMania. And eventually, I'm not going to say it's going to happen this year, but at some point down the line, Jimmy and Jay Uso are going to reunite and go for another tag team championship run. CM Punk, our beloved Pepsi Phil, does what he says he's going to do, what he's been saying for the past little while, and he wins the Royal Rumble. He gets his WrestleMania main event. He main events night one. Controversially here, but he gets his wish. He main events WrestleMania and beats Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship. Afterwards, they do a show of respect. They shake hands. Seth hesitates. He is reluctant. But he finally holds his head up high. He shakes CM Punk's hand and immediately low blows him, hits the curb stomp, and Damian Priest cashes in and beats Punk immediately after he becomes a champion. The next night on Raw, it will be revealed that Seth paid Priest off as an insurance policy in order to ruin Punk's life. Punk and Seth feud for the duration of the year. Eventually, the title gets involved with the both of them again. At the Royal Rumble, Bayley wins the women's side of things, last eliminating her former teammates in Damage Control following her exile from the group just before the Rumble. John Cena returns and enters his program with Solo Sikoa once again, and finally gets a televised win at WrestleMania. His first in several years, I believe. Braun Strowman returns and gets into a program with Bronson Reed. And there is one reason and one reason only. I want this. It's because of Big Meaty Man slapping meat. A lot of beef in that ring, pal. SmackDown and Raw finally separate their tag team championships, with each show getting their own respective belts. We finally see teams like the Creed Brothers, The New Day, The Alpha Academy, Pretty Deadly, Yes Boy, and a debuting Gallus having reigns on both respective shows wherever they may land. On NXT, Oba Femi, Lexus King, Josh Briggs, Lash Legend, Damon Kemp, and Eddie Thorpe all have breakout years on the brand. And I'm going to put money right now, a year from right now, on December 31st, 2024, Eddie Thorpe will be the NXT North American champion. I am putting money on that right now. Let's just say $5. Or a large coffee at Tim Hortons. Whoever wants the bet, hit me up. On the WWE side of things, we'll have breakout years for the likes of Chad Gable, Solo Sikoa. You could argue Solo has already had a breakout year, but hear me out. Jey Uso, Shotzi, Dragon Lee, Axiom will come up to the main roster again soon, and Grayson Waller will shine. Maybe one of them get a singles title in there as well. Another salty one here for you folks. Okada also debuts the night after WrestleMania and confronts Shinsuke Nakamura, who has been alluding to a challenger from the Land of the Rising Sun to answer his call. Gunther, the ring general himself, wrestles and defeats Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania and then goes on to win the World Heavyweight Championship at Bash in Berlin later in the year. Speaking of Gunther, on his way to Bash at Berlin, he is defeated by Ilya Dragunov for his Intercontinental title, proving that Ilya really is his kryptonite. We all know that Ilya won the NXT UK Championship from Gunther after a 800-plus day title reign. Ron Breaker, Von Wagner, Gallus, Lyra Valkyria, Tiffany Stratton, Chase Yu, and Carmelo Hayes are all called up to the main roster throughout 2024, which may clog up their mid-card and main event scene and lead to more potential releases and or contracts expiring. Speaking of Chase Yu, they are bought out by the Alpha Academy, allowing them to be a feeder system for the Academy and leading to an eventual power struggle feud for control of the entire brand itself. Dustin Rhodes returns to WWE to wrestle Cody in a retirement match sometime during the year and is inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2025. Keith Lee also returns to the WWE. Daniel Garcia debuts in NXT, joining the Quarter Catch Club, who by then will be managed by William Regal. Diana Perazzo will also return to NXT. WWE will introduce a mid-card women's title, with Shotzi being the first champion. Trick Williams wins the NXT championship and holds it for a few months until Baron Corbin burns the ships and wins it. Baron then holds it until December, when Wesley returns and beats him for the title at NXT Deadline 2024. Charlotte returns from her knee injury at War Games as a surprise partner for the Four Horsewomen, who will take on the NXT New Breed team of Cora Jade, Roxy, Lyra Valkyria. Yes, I predicted her being called up to the main roster too, but after this, and Diana Perazzo. Now, this next one might actually happen, and who knows, it might actually happen in the next little while. Andrade returns to the WWE, realigns himself with Zelina Vega to go up against Santos Escobar and his LWO, let's call him LWO Hollywood and LWO Wolfpack, with, you know, Cruz del Toro and Joaquin Wilde and Rey Mysterio, who is away on injury right now. But yeah, Andrade comes back to the WWE. Honestly, I like to see it. This other one is also kind of about to happen too, but the AOP return, form a faction with Karrion Kross and Scarlett, and they feud with the likes of the LWO and Smoke Business. Yeah, I wrote this after I saw the AOP's alleged shadows and vignettes in the Karrion Kross promo a couple of weeks ago. But this is just going to be like another faction that's going to be floating through the main roster of the WWE. And finally, I'm ending the WWE's with a banger, with a game changer. Shout out to Nate the Effing Great. WWE's TV deal ends up on Disney. WWE is with the mouse. Yeah, imagine that. Now on to AEW. Now, some of these I kind of had to change because of World's End and Adam Cole Bebe being revealed as the devil, as a lot of people predicted would actually happen. But here we go, kicking off with a bit of a banger. Drew Galloway and Sheamus jump ship, both debuting at All in Wembley. Chris Jericho debuts three new gimmicks, one of which is akin to the Goon, ironic since he was kind of supposed to be the Goon in the WWE, allegedly. Maxwell Jacob Friedman returns to AEW in the bidding war of 2024 and enlists the help of Adam Cole's former friends, Red Dragon, to battle Adam Cole and the Devils. I'm just going to call it's the Kingdom and Wardlow. So let's call them the New Kingdom. All hell breaks loose in AEW as Tony Khan becomes an on-air authority figure, but due to all the chaos, he enlists the help of a man who will become the commissioner of AEW, Shane McMahon. Yeah. Let that one sink for a minute. Adam Copeland finally beats Christian Cage for the TNT title. Brackets, for real this time, without shenanigans from the patriarchy or that not money in the bank cash in that friggin' Luchasaurus won. I'm not calling him Killswitch. He's Luchasaurus. I'm sorry. He's not Killswitch. Okay? And I'm going to say that happens at Dynamite in Toronto. Will Ospreay, one of the newest signees in AEW's beyond bloated roster, wins the International Championship at Wembley. Adam Copeland and Christian Cage finally reunite. And they wrestle the Hardys and the Dudleys in a triangle ladder match at All In. But it sucks. It becomes one of the worst matches of the year, mostly due to the age of everyone involved here. But they get the nostalgia pop for the triangle ladder match with these three teams. And also throughout the year, Copeland and Cage win the tag team championships for the nostalgia pop. And then let's just say they ride off to the sunset and they lose the titles to FTR or insert new babyface team here or Red Dragon or the Kingdom, one or the other. Speaking of All In, Swerve becomes the AEW champion at that event. Speaking of the world title, it's going to change hands a little more often. Please, not another long title reign. I love MJF, but eventually that title reign got to be really long in the tooth, especially when he turned babyface. No. MJF's going to come back and be a heel again. He has to. Ric Flair retires Sting. No, just kidding. It's Darby Allin. Ric Flair wrestles on the way. Sting's retirement, which is only a month from now, basically, since until Sting's retired. It's December 31st right now, and it's what? Early February? Yeah. A bit more than a month away. Ricky Starks joins Bullet Club Gold, leaving Big Bill to call up an old friend for backup. How you doing? FTR and Mark Briscoe win the AEW Tribute Trios titles as a tribute to Jay Briscoe, let's just say on or just after the anniversary of his passing, excuse me. John Moxley finally takes a vacation, only to have it interrupted weeks in by a major injury and then wins another pointless singles title. Claudio Castagnoli wins the Triple Crown from Eddie Kingston at Forbidden Door 3 and at some point this year reunites with Chris Hero for a one-shot Kings of Wrestling match against FTR. Ring of Honor will continue to exist on Honor Club, and no one will watch it, and no one will care. Ring of Honor will also continue to be on AEW TV every week and continue to dilute their once great legacy. Forbidden Door 3 is going to have AEW and Ring of Honor colliding to unify all of their titles, killing off Ring of Honor as a brand. And then Tony Khan gets cold feet a couple of months later, relaunches it when AEW gets their streaming platform on Warner Brothers Discovery. And then finally, Tony Khan develops new brain cells and completely separates the AEW and Ring of Honor rosters. No more crossovers, No more nothing. Their TVs are completely separate. And maybe Ring of Honor gets either a TV deal or the Honor Club streaming deal gets combined and merged into Warner Brothers Discovery. Dark and Dark Elevation will be brought back on YouTube as a feeder system for the two brands respectively, and probably introduce yet another new championship belt, the Internet Championship, and somewhere Matt Cardona might be seething. I got a few quick ones here for TNA because I've been rambling on for almost 40 minutes at this point in time. TNA will make a strong case to be the second biggest promotion in North America, competing heavily with AEW, despite not being on at the same time yet. AJ Styles will appear in the company to be inducted in their Hall of Fame. No, seriously, AJ Styles is not in the TNA Hall of Fame. I'm serious. Speedball Mike Bailey will win the world title sometime this year. I think he's a guy that they can build around. He had a great run as the X Division champion. He is very talented, and it would be kind of cool to see happen. This next one was literally announced after I typed this out, but the Knockouts will have an Ultimate X match. It's like in a couple of weeks at the next TNA pay-per-view. It's going to happen, and I think it's going to be an absolute banger. Mustafa Ali jumps ship and wins the X Division title. This next one is not grounded in any reality, but I would absolutely love to see this. But Elias drifts his way to the Impact Zone and feuds with Billy Corgan in a battle of the bands, and also releases a brand new album. Elias, gotta release a new album, buddy. Gotta happen. Tom Campbell of Cultaholic fame, who was their ring announcer during their last tour of the UK and will be again next year, manages Grado on their next UK tour on top of being the ring announcer for the show. Nick Nemeth, aka Dolph Ziggler, shockingly signs with Impact and wins the world title almost immediately. Kurt Angle will make a one-off appearance in TNA to announce the signing of Shelton Benjamin. At some point this year, TNA will beat AEW in one weekly show in ratings, be it Dynamite, Rampage, or Collision. And finally, I have a couple of indie wrestling predictions. There's only a few of them, but here they are. Big Beef, Gnarls Garvin, gets TV time in Impact or AEW, whether it's an enhancement match or he's a surprise debut for something, but he's there. I believe he is a current or former OVW tag team champion, so maybe he winds up on one of those shows somehow. Nate, I hope you're listening. Nate the Grundana gets his first major win over Kodiak and gets gold somewhere down the line in NRW, and he remains the MCW champion for a couple more months. Nate will also go viral, gaining internet notoriety for a short time, be it in a meme or wrestling a former major WWE star, be it Eugene or Hornswoggle or someone else. And finally, this is just a fun one. It would be cool, but I have no beef if this does not happen. But Wrestle Addict Radio recruits a new podcast to the family. Now, again, this is something that I think would be cool. So if this ruffles any feathers to our general manager, King Ricky Rose, I am sorry. But a new show would be kind of cool. Be it a new podcaster or a new show from someone in the current Wrestle Addict Radio family. It's not a spoiler, but it's a prediction. It would be something kind of cool. Anyways, folks, that is going to be it for this one. I'll be back in another week or so with my continuation of the Attitude Era. You can follow me on all the social medias. That's Twitter and Instagram. That's Blue Sky and Threads whenever I remember that I actually have those, at Fretzelmania. That's Fretzle Mania. This podcast is available on Wrestle Addict Radio. Say it with me, kids. The cure for the common wrestling podcast. Be sure to catch all the rest of our shows. The Kings of the Rings podcast, Race for Impact when Nate should return, and the Young Lions Perspective with Mr. YLP Zach, also when he shall return. So happy New Year's, peeps. TTFN, ta-ta for now, and keep your stick on the ice.
This has been a Wrestle Addict Radio branded podcast.